Genesis chapter 5 verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching, to the reading of his precious word. Now, just before I begin my message, I'd like to make one thing particularly clear to the saints, and that is, this morning I read to you from the Amplified Bible. Now, I know that it says KJV here, King James Version here, and I like that very much, because it has stood the test of time, and it is a very, very accurate translation. I remember a dear old sister whom I met in Lewistown, and I was sitting in her living room, where I had been invited to stay there, and this dear old sister, I looked at the books on a table, and here was the Amplified Bible, and I picked it up, and I said, "Ah, sister, you have an Amplified Bible," and she said, she took up her King James Version in one hand and said, "I use that, but this is my help to study that." So you see, this is an aid to the study of the version that we already have. And that is the way it should be used. We were discussing it today, some dear brethren and myself, and we concluded that there was no translation which was absolutely accurate. Unless you want to go right back to the Greek or the Hebrew, but we, not being Hebrew or Greek scholars, have to rely upon these translations. So no translation is perfect. God's Holy Spirit will help us and assist us in using them to the glory and honor of His name. Now, our subject is Enoch. Tonight, Enoch, we read, walked with God. Now, the precise translation of that walk is a word which means he had habitual fellowship with God. That's very important. A man who had habitual fellowship with God. And I think we would like to think about that for a little while. But just before that, let us look again at what this man did. Verse 22, and Enoch walked, or Enoch had habitual fellowship with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. This man of God had habitual fellowship with God 300 years. That's a long time. I tell you, we probably will never live to reach one-third that time. But this man lived for 300 years, and he had habitual fellowship with God during all that time. You know, did you know that Halley's Comet is coming back? I don't know how many of you remember Halley's Comet. My father saw Halley's Comet in 1911. He said it was a fantastic sight. He said it stretched from one end of the heaven to the other. This tremendous tail. And it's coming back in 1986. And I said to myself, man, I'd like to see what my father saw. Of course, the Lord willing, if he doesn't come before Halley's Comet comes. But, you know, 1911 to 1986 is more than 70 years. And that's a time span that many, many people never attain. And that's a time span which very, very few people have had habitual fellowship with God. You know, when a brother tells me, "Brother, I've known the Lord for 50 years. You know, I'm speechless. I can't say that. I bow with respect, brother. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have had fellowship with God for 50 years? Oh, he must have found the Lord in the days of his youth, remembering the Bible's advice and in the Song of Solomon, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Well, we come back to Enoch with his 300-year fellowship with God. And the word walk here actually means habitual, having habitual fellowship with God. And I'm reminded of another man who walked also with God. It's very interesting. I'll just like in passing to refer to him. It's found, he is found in Genesis chapter 3 in the same book. Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Adam was a man who walked with God. Literally walked with God. Because, you see, Adam at that time, before the fall, had no sin in him. And God could come into his presence, or Adam could come into the presence of God and see God's face. He was able to do that. God came down and walked in that garden in the cool of the day. And Adam walked with God. But Enoch, we must be very, very careful about this walk of Enoch. Enoch, when it says in the word here, walked with God, it means he had fellowship with God. He could not see God's face. He could not have his physical presence. He could not see God. The word tells us God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And remember the time when Moses asked God, "God, I want to see your face. I want to see thy glory." And then the Lord said, "Around here there's a rock, and in that rock there's a cleft. And I will place thee in the cleft of the rock, and I cover thee with my hand, and I shall pass by. And when I pass by, you will see my back parts, my face shall not be seen." God told that to Moses, because if Moses had looked upon the glory of God, he would have been vaporized. He would have been destroyed, because the purity and the holiness and the absolute perfection of God cannot tolerate sin in its presence. And man with his sin cannot stand in the presence of God. We can come into God's presence by virtue of the righteousness invested upon us by his beloved Son, in whom was righteousness completely perfected. We can do that. And you know, when we are going to heaven, when we go to heaven, we will stand before God made absolutely righteous by his beloved Son, cleansed and purified by the precious blood of the Lamb. So then, how then did Enoch walk with God? He walked in habitual fellowship. You know, people used to talk about themselves, and someone would ask, "Where's Enoch?" And someone would point up to the mountainside and say, "Look, there he is. He's having fellowship with God. He's walking with God." And then maybe someone else a little later on will come and say, "Have you seen Enoch somewhere? Look, there he is walking with God." And maybe Enoch was there and he was meditating and he was communing and talking with God. Remarkable thing. Remarkable too that we read here that it was only after he begot Methuselah that he began walking with God. There was a time when Enoch didn't walk with God. And so we want to consider this evening the elements of his walk and see how the elements of his walk apply to us today. Now, I like to emphasize this fact, or rather I would like to say, you will find that my messages are very practical. You know, there are other preachers who come here, I'm absolutely sure, and I've heard many of them, who teach upon the doctrine of God. They have a wonderful part to play in the spiritual life of an assembly. Some are able to teach the doctrine, and others are able to be marvelous expositors. But the only thing that I can do is to talk about the practical aspect of the Christian and how the Word of God should become practical in a Christian's life. That is the little service that I can render for the Lord in ministering to this particular assembly and others too. So then, my message will be very practical, and I trust that the Lord will make it a blessing to every heart, including mine. So then, when Enoch walked with God, he walked in newness of life. Let us look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, this word walk here is not the same word used for Enoch. Now, the word that characterizes Enoch's progress is the word which means habitual fellowship with God. The word here is conduct of one's personal life. That's what it means. And there is a connection between the two. You see, if you have fellowship with God, then it is natural, it is logical that it will be reflected in the conduct of your personal life. You see the connection, your brother and sister in Christ. So there's the connection. The fellowship with God, habitual fellowship God, with God reflected in the conduct, in the manner of one's personal life. And this is the word walk here. Walk, it says, in newness of life. And you know, Enoch did that precisely. You know, there was a time when he didn't walk in fellowship with God. But you know, God touched him. And after that, he began his fellowship with God. And he walked in a newness of life. You know, it is impossible. It is impossible to have fellowship with God and not walk in newness of life. I wonder if you agree. It is impossible. It is impossible to claim, I have fellowship with God and not to walk in newness of life. Enoch walked in newness of life. Then, let us look at the thing he did next. He walked in faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And you know, whereas Enoch walked along those maybe mountain paths, along those lonely ways, among the fields, God talked with him, perhaps. I'm sure he did. He heard God's voice in his heart as he fellowshiped with God. And he walked by faith because he first of all believed that God existed. He believed in a God, and his belief is what we call faith. He walked by faith. He walked in newness of life because God is life. We find that in John 14 and 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There you have the very voice of God saying that he in him is life. He is life, in him is life. Enoch walked in newness of life. He walked with God. God is life. And when we walk in newness of life, we walk in God. We walk in fellowship with God because God is life. And then Enoch walked by faith, in faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. God is a God of faith. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11. That famous, that wonderful chapter, that thrilling chapter, let me say. 11 chapter 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a God of faith. You can't approach him in any other way. It is impossible. You know, this is one of the keys to by which you can answer the world. And when the world comes and says, prove to us that your God exists, and then we point them to this verse and say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that shuts their mouths, because you can't get around this. You cannot get around it, because first of all, God is a spirit, we cannot see him. And the evidence that these people want is not available for them. And it is only possible and available to the person who's willing to come to God by faith, because God is a God of faith. Enoch walked in faith. And then he walked in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, this is one of the two chapters in the New Testament which give us the elements of the life of the Christian in the Spirit. And of course, you know where the other one is. Now, first, let us look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There was a time when Enoch walked in the flesh. I'm quite sure, because he was just as much a sinner as you or I, or anybody else. But there came a time, a dividing line in his life, when he stopped his life of sin, and the Spirit took over his soul, his being, and he walked in the Spirit. He walked as a spiritual man. The other great chapter in the New Testament is found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Let us look at that very briefly and look at those fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Enoch walked in the Spirit. You know, the third person of the Trinity was in him, because Enoch had habitual fellowship with his God, and God's Holy Spirit came to abide in him. We have that in John, when the Lord himself assures the believer that if he abode in him, then the Father and he would come and abide in the Christian. In addition to the fact that the Lord himself said he would send his Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to abide within us if we loved him and followed his commandments. So then Enoch had to be walking in the Spirit. You know, I think those people, you know, when Moses wrote down these words, he wrote Genesis and the other four books of the Pentateuch. As he wrote this down, I'm sure he never knew Enoch. How do you think he knew to write this about Enoch? God revealed it to him. And I think as he wrote them, Moses was amazed and astounded. And I think probably he was a little envious. I can't imagine him being that. But he probably wondered that if Enoch could have had such a wonderful fellowship with God, he possibly could have had the same. But we know too that Moses had some deep, wonderful fellowship experience with God. But, you know, Enoch surpassed, the experience of Enoch surpassed all other experiences recorded in the Bible, because God thought so much of him that one day God took him and took him away because he pleased God so much. He pleased God so much. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Enoch walked in faith. He walked in the Spirit. He was a spiritual man. I wonder how many of us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, follow this example. I wonder how many of us walk in newness of life. I wonder how many of us walk in faith. I wonder how many of us walk in the Spirit and are spiritual men and women. I wonder. This world needs our light, our shining light. The world needs to look at us and say, what are these people? These people who are so different. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't swear, they don't go to nightclubs, they don't do evil, they don't lie, and they have a conscience. What's different with them? And this is what we should be shining forth upon the people of this world and attracting them to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they see our faces, they must see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in our eyes. I wonder. Ah, brother and sister in Christ, think about Enoch, that man who had this habitual fellowship with God. My word, I wish I did. But you know, we are weak, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we get distracted, don't we? We have so many things that distract our lives and take us away from God. I wonder how many of us spend 1 hour in prayer with the Lord. We spend an hour to read our newspaper. We spend an hour or a couple of hours before the TV. We spend an hour or more eating our meals. We have to spend a couple of hours with our family. Otherwise, they may feel deprived. But how about spending some time with the Lord? How much time do we spend with Him? How much time do we spend in fellowship with Him? Enoch walked in the Spirit. And then Enoch walked in the light. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, it's a marvel. I love this light. I love the description and the meaning of this word light. You know, we have to go right back to John chapter 1 to look more deeply into the meaning of this term light. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. Verse 9, verse 8, he was not that light, that is John. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, the light of God shone upon our faces and in our hearts when we were born. But as we grew up and attained the age of reason, sin penetrated and came in, and that light became dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, until that time when, as a sinner, you and I came to Jesus Christ, came to God through His Son. Then that light blazed forth again. Is it blazing forth tonight, brother and sister in Christ? That light, that wonderful light, which is from none other than God. Because we read in 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know, this is not physical darkness and physical light. No. This is spiritual light. Spiritual light is totally different from physical light and physical darkness. In today's world, there is spiritual darkness as you have never imagined it. You know, even in this country, just look at those cults, those Mooneyites, those Mormons, those Russellites, the Jehovah's Witnesses, even the Seventh-day Adventists. You know, some of the things that they come out with are incredible. And if you know your Bible well, you begin to wonder, how did these people ever get sidetracked like this into darkness? Spiritual darkness. Go to Africa, go to Asia, go to India, where the Hindus worship those thousands of idols. There you have spiritual darkness. And go to Europe, especially France, where they go for this spiritism. Spiritism, witch worship, and the occult. Spirit, this is what Enoch avoided when he walked, had habitual fellowship with his God. Ah, brother and sister in Christ, what a privileged position to walk with God. What a privileged position to be in the light, you know. Here, it is symbolic. This light is symbolic. I put my hand in the light, and there I can see it clear, every detail. Oh, brother and sister in Christ, when we have fellowship with God, God sees us, and His light, His spiritual light, falls upon our heart. And there is no mistaking. There is no mistaking of the truth that is within us. And God can see our hearts, and we can see Him and understand Him. And we walk with our heads up because we have the truth, because we are in God's light. Enoch walked in the light because he had habitual fellowship with God. He had to. It's impossible, as I said at the beginning, to have habitual fellowship with God and to walk in darkness. It's impossible. And then he walked in the truth. And there we find it in 3 John, the third epistle of John. Dear John, wasn't he a wonderful brother, this beloved apostle? He writes here some of the sweetest words that you can find in the New Testament. He says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Even as thou walkest in the truth. Even as your manner of life is based upon the truth and is conducted and led by the truth. That's the meaning here. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I wonder how you think Enoch walked in the truth. I wonder if he had the Old Testament. He didn't, because the Old Testament was not written at that time. And when we say walk in the truth, that's what we mean. We walk by the word of God, because the truth is right here, written down for you and for me. Is your life, dear brother and sister in Christ, guided by the truth that is found in the word? Is it? Do you refer to it all the time for your meeting your daily problems? Do we look for the truth in here when we are confronted with a difficult situation? What has God to say about it? I read a book in Niger. It was a paperback. And this godly man, he's a really godly man, and he was discussing something that is known today as situation ethics. Situation ethics. And that is being taught in liberal churches all over. And this man cited an example given by these liberal teachers of a woman who consented to commit adultery with her jailer in order that he might set her free so that she could go home and look after her fatherless children. And the teaching was by these liberal preachers that she had done right. This was a situation in which you had to have a set of ethics which adapted itself. Have you ever heard of anything like that? Dear brother and sister, that's what's going on today. Now, you tell me if that is the truth. Is that the truth? That is not the truth. What does God say about something like adultery in the word? He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. It is a sin in the eyes of God. And Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you can't do something that is wrong in order to justify doing something that is right. You can never do that. That doesn't work with God. That's not his language. His language is the truth. And there you find it. Pilate was aghast when he was face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what is truth? He had no system. He had no principles of truth. He hadn't any idea of what truth was. Right before him was truth itself, the very embodiment of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate didn't know what to do with him. The world has no idea of it. It has been led away from the truth. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a very, very insidious and deceptive world. And we have to watch out that we are not led away from the truth of God's word. Just look at this example. And this man who wrote this book, he spent a chapter pointing out and proving how that woman had sinned and how that she was guilty before God from the word, based upon the word and upon no other standard, upon no other foundation. Enoch walked in truth because God took the truth and planted it in his heart. Has he done that in yours? Walk in the truth because God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, he said. I am the truth. And if you have him in our hearts, we have the truth. And then Enoch walked in love. Ephesians chapter 5. My time is almost gone. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Let your manner of life, let your conduct in this world be guided and driven by the love of God, by the love that with which Christ loved us. By the way by which he loved us. He loved us unto death, unto the cross. This is the way we have to love one another. And not one another, others too. People who are not even the children of God, we have to love them too. Brother and sister in Christ, you know, I had a very, very hard time. I guess the Lord taught me how that I should love this person. I had a very difficult time with one of the team members with whom I was in the Central African Republic. He was our team leader. And you know, he was a nominal Christian. He could sing every hymn, the tune of which I hummed. I would start humming a tune and he could bring out the words. He knew them. He knew every hymn in the book. But he had no idea of the Word of God. He had no idea. He had never opened the Bible ever since he probably became a nominal Christian. But, you know, he took time off to rub it into me, to mock me, and to show me how I was just a simpleton in believing this wonderful Word of God. Oh, I had a very, very hard time. And, you know, I asked myself, Lord, why have you placed me in this position like this? And the Lord told me, because you know he is just as much as a sinner as you were. And he needs my love as much as you did and still do. And so, how about loving him? Ah, a lesson for me, dear brother and sister in Christ, don't you think? How about you? You have somebody whom you would like to take and wring their necks just because you can't stand them? I'm sure you have. Brother, how God wants us to love them. Because that is the training ground. If we cannot learn how to love here on this earth, we're going to have a pretty hard time learning how to do that in heaven. But you know, that's speculation. Because in heaven, we are perfect. We are changed. And we are perfect. And you know, we can do things we cannot do here. So then, we should, however, redeem the time, and learn to love, first of all, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And also to love the difficult people, especially the difficult people, because the Lord puts the difficult people in our path to test us. Yeah, because he wants us to do a little better. So if you succeed in loving someone who is very difficult, the Lord will put someone more difficult in order to get you to go higher. You know, it's just like the guy who runs and makes this pole vault. You know, every time they raise the pole a little bit so that he can jump higher and higher and higher. How gracious and how wonderful the Lord is. Walking in love. Enoch walked in love. And I'm sure there must have been people who mocked him, you know, who jeered at him. Ah, look at that dreamer over there. And then probably Enoch would have loved them. Walk in love. You know, I said at the beginning that Enoch could not have had fellowship, habitual fellowship with God, if he did not at the same time walk in newness of life, walk in faith, walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, walk in truth, and walk in light. It's impossible. And neither can you and I claim to have fellowship with God, habitual fellowship with God, if we do not do the same thing. If our lives are not conducted in the same way. Finally, the name Enoch means teacher. Isn't that interesting? You know, Enoch has a lesson for us because his teaching is by example. He never preached a word. He never stood up and made a lot of hot air like I'm doing here. He never gave counseling. He never had practice sessions. He just had habitual fellowship with God. And right down the centuries, his story has come down to us. And we look at it and we see, what a marvelous man. What a marvelous man. How much he pleased God, and that alone is the example that teaches us tonight, isn't it? That it is our practical example which counts and as an example to the world and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want to thank you very much for your patience. May the Lord bless this message unto you. And I was wondering if we could sing that hymn again. We missed two verses. Can we sing, "Now None But Christ Can Satisfy," verses 2 and 4. This lovely hymn. My father used to sing this hymn. My father used to sing out of tune. And now I can hear that dear old man's voice. Oh, he used to sing in the bathroom when he took his bath. And so he just come booming out of that door. And we used to listen. And we used to look at each other and say, "Dad singing again." And he used to sing this hymn. He loved this hymn. "Now None But Christ Can Satisfy." And I'm sure that there's no one, nothing else in this world that can satisfy us than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 2 and 4 of 140.